Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They say wonders never cease, even though this podcast has many times. But like the mighty phoenix, or in this case, a thunderbird from another dimension, you can't keep a good thing down. Out of the vortex, screaming like a magical dragon, comes this, the first official show of the 2022 season. And on its back, holding on for dear life, are Reese, Dan, and Buttons, who's, let's be honest, always slightly slipping off the tail. We're back!
Reese, just before the theme tune started, said, "Now, guys, I've got a little spiel to rant off after." That wasn't a spiel. That was like a motivating anthem.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't just a spiel.
Well, I used to be a soldier in the army, we'd get up in the morning and just before battle, the commander would come down and during breakfast, we'd go, "Right, before we kick things off today, I'm going to have to do my spiel." and so I think anything that's kind of commanding and uplifting is a spiel or a spiel. I don't mind, mate. Is it a German word?
Spiel? Yeah, it sounds it, doesn't
spiel.
It? Spiel. Yeah.
Yeah. Give us your spiel.
Yeah. Can you give us that whole thing again, but with your German accent?
Ja, voll. Nein.
Oh, wow. It's good. It is great to be back. Oh, my God.
It's wonderful.
It's February.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think time has ever moved this weirdly in my life. Like, it's so fast. 2020 seems like a decade ago. 2021's gone.
I know. Yeah.
And now we're halfway through 2022.
I know.
Well, not quite, but, you know, it feels like it. Next week it will be.
Next time this podcast comes out.
What have we all been doing? Why have we been so slack during January?
Dan's been busy. I can tell Dan. He's always, you know, touring or doing live shows, being, you know, being a dad to two very young kids and whatnot.
Yeah, I was in Ireland, which is awesome.
Wow. Was this, what was this for?
It was for the, you know, the other podcast that I did.
Oh, the one that we don't mention.
Yeah, the unmentionable. We were on tour there. That was very exciting.
Boring.
You know, I did get in the time that we were off, I got a message from my dad. And actually, I just wanted to mention it as a warning for anyone who listens to us as they're falling to sleep, because my dad sent me a message saying, "Dan, I had the craziest dream last night. I must have been falling asleep as I was listening to the episode," because he then told me this dream of the three of us, Cryptid Factor, with my dad in some Tibetan monastery dream that we had all worked our way into. He said there was a huge house that was built up on a high mountains, and we were walking through this cheeky bedroom on the upper floor, but there were voices coming from down below. And the three of us went walking around not knowing what was going on. He was really scared about it.
Wow!
It was like an abandoned villa. Life clearly was there before, but no longer present. And then suddenly the whole city disappeared and we'd been transported into some other situation. And we began to investigate that situation. He didn't say what the situation was. He then woke up and he had Reese and New Buttons sort of doing Yeti impressions.
It sounds like he's actually had a premonition of the next series of Reese's Rapisodes. That sounds like the plot line for one of our adventures in rap.
So warning, if you fall asleep to this pod, you could have extremely trippy dreams.
Man. Well, I tell you what, seeing as you, both Reese and I's fathers have sadly passed, do you reckon your dad would consider adopting us? Because he sounds really cool. And he sounds like he could be like the father of the three cryptid factor brothers. And that would make us actual brothers if we all had the same dad.
You'd have to change your surname to Schreiber.
I'm happy with that. I almost bought a piano the other day that was a Schreiber piano. And I was only going to buy it because I want to be part of your family.
Oh, that'd be good. And it'd be good for your spiels as well, if you have a German surname, Reese.
Yes.
Time for the spiel.
Schreiber spiel.
Just run the idea past him. I don't know how he feels.
Hear what he thinks. I think he'll probably go for it. And let's be honest, he's listening now. Can you be our dad too, Mr. Schreibs?
We'll come on cool adventures with you, even if it is just in your dreams.
Yeah. Now, Leon, we know you have been at home in New Zealand, and from what I can gather from photographs, doing a lot of home construction on your property with bulldozers and whatnot.
Oh, mate, I'm the only one that has no excuse for not doing the podcast. I've just been stuck at home. I've just been driving bulldozers to pass time. I didn't even need to. The backyard was fine, and I just was like, oh, I'm just going to bulldoze it.
And just then, bored.
Totally bored. I'm like waiting for you guys to do the podcast with, and I'm like,
Michelle. Oh, they haven't replied again. I'm just going to have to get the bulldozer out. Michelle.
Look, just ask them nicely.
I have every day. I tell you on a podcast and they don't do anything.
Can you stop ruining the property?
I'm not happy.
It's my therapy. It's 20-ton therapy. Yeah. And but that ties into my one other bit of news, because we, of course, haven't talked since Christmas, because the last episode, although it came out sometime in January, we actually recorded prior to
Christmas. Yeah.
And then I got busy with Christmas holidays and then, you know, took a while to edit, as I sometimes do. But us three haven't talked since Christmas. And one of my Christmas presents is really important.
So you were going to ask us what we got for Christmas. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you get
for
Christmas?
So long ago, I can't recall.
I have no idea.
Oh, really?
Tell us what you want to tell us about.
Well, thanks for asking what I got for Christmas. So, shall I go get it so I can show you?
Yeah.
He hasn't even got it? You have any
It's just downstairs.
While you go get it, I'll try and remember what I was.
Yeah, you guys try and remember gifted. What you got for Christmas.
I do know what I'm debating about getting right now. I'm in two minds about buying a Donatello Ninja Turtle toy, the 1988 version, which is quite expensive because it belonged to Ed Sheeran. It's Ed Sheeran's Donatello toy. And I can't work out if that's a cool thing to get or not. It's very expensive, but I feel like that'd be a cool thing for my kids. So that's what I'm dealing with at the moment.
Got two levels to it. It's nostalgic cool, and it's also owned by someone of notoriety.
Mm. What was it? I missed it. I was running to get my present.
It's Ed Sheeran's old Donatello Ninja Turtles toy, the originals.
That's amazing.
I'm debating whether or not to get it.
For the guy who's got everything.
Well, all your cool stuff, you end up just returning. You got all of Spike Milligan's shot glasses and you gave them back to Spike Milligan's family.
I've got those.
Oh, I think you told her you're going to give them back. Or you told me you're going to give them back.
Yeah. Don't put this out.
But then also, when we talked to Peter Hillary, you had that French comic book which you gave to me for Christmas. And then you quickly packaged it up and re-gifted it to Peter Hillary.
That's right.
And who has it right now?
I've still got it. I'm still deciding who's going to get it.
It'll be the same with Donatello for Ed Sheeran. You'll be like, oh, I'm going to give it back to him one day.
Maybe. All right, come on then. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, you got your present?
Yeah, I got my present. But from my lovely, long-suffering wife gave me a personalized license plate, which is cryptid.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Cool. So very shortly there'll be an old Land Rover buzzing about with a cryptid license plate, which means then I get to actually then buy all of the cryptid hunting material to put on the old Land Rover, because you can't have a license plate like that without nets and radar and infrared cameras and all that.
Is this your truck that once had a special dog sit in it once?
Oh, yes. Wait. Yes, what? the red dog. What's it called? Old Red. There was a dog that used to hitchhike around the outback of Australia, and it was called the Red Dog. And you'd just like, and people would just pick him up and drop him off, and he'd sort of like, you know, just stand there, jump in your truck, and let you know when he wanted to hop out, and you'd just get around the outback. And so this old Land Rover that I got from the outback allegedly had the Red Dog driving it.
Allegedly.
Wow, that was what I sold. They didn't come with an official certificate.
There's no word more powerful to ruin your story than the word allegedly. I mean, why do we even bother with it? And you chuck that in immediately. Yeah. We're all going, okay, so it didn't. I mean, it's a weird...
Go and try and prove it yourself.
What's the word for it? Deceit? Or what is it? It's like...
It's just it gets you away from anybody fact checking.
No one's gonna sue you.
Say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what they use on British panel shows. Like, have I got news for you? You can say the gossip and then say allegedly afterwards, which means you're not saying it's a fact. So that's what they do. They'll say Ian Hislop will say a fact, and they'll say allegedly.
Right. It's a nice buffer.
It is. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, with that. Shall we do everybody's allegedly favorite segment?
Let's do it. It's
Weekly World Weird News.
It's crazy. It's freaky. Watch out.
It's been a thin month of weirdness, which is odd. You know, I cycled through a lot of stuff today to find up-to-date pieces of information of bizarreness, and there wasn't a lot there. There's definitely stuff from weeks and weeks ago, but trying to stay relevant was difficult this week. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that your headline? To stay relevant.
That's my news. What have you guys got?
Wow, cool. Oh, wow. It's going to be hard to beat that.
Well, I do have one which I think is worth talking about. It's not necessary. I think he's a category of someone to talk about, but supposedly space aliens are coming. They're on the way, what? And this is according to Yuri Geller.
So, yes, I saw this. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much we've spoken about Yuri on the show before, but, you know, is a curious, curious man, and he believes that this new interesting sound that was spotted by NASA is aliens trying to get in contact. So we can get into that in a bit.
That's pretty awesome. And what's your actual news, Reese?
Sorry, I just looked up Yuri there because there's another bit of Yuri news as well that I can link to that, but I'll find that in a minute. So I tried to find something funny, like I always do, that's odd. And this is a nice headline. Britain's oldest pub closes after 1,229 years.
Oh, that's not nice news. That's
sad, but it's amazing. It finally closes after 1,229 years.
Isn't that crazy that the pandemic closes it, but it survived the Spanish flu? It survived probably multiple pandemics, but it's coronavirus that takes it out. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a sign of the times, I'm telling you. So more about that in a minute. And what have you got, Buttons?
Well, I've got one that's, okay, it might be, it's from earlier in January, so people may have heard about it, but I'd love to talk about it anyway. Scientists make goldfish drive a car.
I did have a quick glance at that one as I was scrolling through today.
Yeah. Well, it's no pub shutting down, sure, but it is still It's still pretty weird. So we got to cover it because it is pretty amazing.
Let's do a few more so we can get a few more in here as well if we've got time. I've found one on curiosmos.com, which is Ukrainian explorers have found a lost subterranean world in a cave beneath Antarctica.
Wow.
Okay.
That's cool because, you know, Ukraine is in the news very much at the moment. Yeah. And it's a really cool, positive story about a underground world that has been seen before, but has been opened up even further. And it's just bigger than they ever thought it was. And it's in Antarctica. It's a giant cave with various systems inside it. And they've even found a... I've said too much. We'll go into it in a minute.
Slow down there, buddy. Slow down. Well, I've got one other piece of news to throw in there as well, if we've got time. And the headline is, spiders can have arachnophobia.
Oh, I love that. That's cool.
And I think the headline probably is all, that's the whole story.
Yeah.
But I thought that was quite amazing as well. And you got any backups there, Dan?
Yes. There's a story, a claim, that a baby that was born very recently in their lifetime are going to be meeting aliens. And they will teach them how to eradicate all diseases, and the lifespan of humans will climb to 220 years on average. And that is another claim by Yuri Geller. I just want to talk about Yuri Geller.
God, that's probably the second one I was going to look up in a second, because I saw there was a couple of Yuri updates, and I'm thinking, wow, either his PR team are really coming on board now.
we need his PR team.
Or he's just
team.
Out of cash and needs a bit of...
Well, exactly.
Attention.
We need his PR team for the podcast. Like, shit. Because we come up with claims like this shit all the time and nobody covers it in their news.
Well, that's the fun part about being someone strange that can bend or possibly not bend spoons, is that you can have these wild claims and they'll make headlines. If any of us claim something ridiculous, people will just go, yeah, whatever, mate, we're not giving you any space on the newspaper for that.
It's amazing if you do a PR release. Rhys Darby believes that aliens are already living amongst us and are actually working in supermarket aisles across the country. And then you go dot, dot down the bottom to prove that this is not bollocks. Rhys just recently bent a spoon with his own mind. That's a qualifying statement to go, oh, no, he's no. We guys got to publish this one. He can bend a spoon.
Should we get into it?
No, let's dive in. Dan, start with you.
Well, okay. So recently, as you say, Yuri Geller has sort of found this sort of little pocket of PR that's going on. For what purposes, I don't know. He's got a museum that he's been pushing a lot recently, but he's using his Twitter a lot recently to sort of put out these ideas, and they just seem to be catching. So one tweet on January 26th, a team mapping radio waves in the universe has discovered something unusual that releases a giant burst of energy 3 times an hour, and it's unlike anything astronomers have seen before. So this is a new story that happened. Alien intelligence way superior than ours. NASA deciphers their messages. Mass landing? ? So that's what he's put out there. Right. Supposedly he's got in contact with NASA. You know, don't know if they replied, but he supposedly is saying that he believes that this is aliens making contact finally. And
I'd like to recreate that phone call right now. I've just got my giant NASA radio responder unit kit. I'm now Yuri Geller. Hello, NASA. Hello, it's Yuri Geller here. Nope. This is a quick recreation of what I believe would have happened.
But yeah, so this is what he's claiming. He's saying that, I mean, there's no evidence from Yuri in this case, but there is a mysterious thing in space which has been sending out these. And, you know, it's always mysterious and then scientists eventually crack it. But I do find, as you say, Buttons, about the sort of like, how does he get these stories out there? The more and more you read about this guy, it's just, he pumps out so many bizarre stories. The weirdest one I read recently is he claims to have this little golden sphere that was given to him by John Lennon, that he says John Lennon gave to him after being handed it by an alien. So wow. John was in bed with Yoko and suddenly an alien came and walked over and gave him this golden sphere. And it's in the museum. It's displayed in Uri Geller's museum that he has as this golden, alien sphere. It's
has Yoko confirmed that or anything? Because Yoko Ono's still alive. So surely she'd be able to say, yeah, that happened or no.
Yeah, I think she's got better things going on, right?
Something more important than an alien walking in with a golden sphere.
it's an alien egg, that's what it was.
Hey, Dan, not to steal away from your Uri Geller news, but this guy is PR mad because here's the one that I was looking at earlier today and I was trying to link it to what you were saying and I thought you mentioned it, but it's yet another one. This came out 2 days ago. Uri Geller says he knows where the Ark of the Covenant is.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'll just quickly read this a little bit here. Once again, is from his Twitter. I know where the Ark of the Covenant is. I will find it. Mark my words. It will be an earth-shattering historical tsunami and an archaeological and a theological earthquake. Dowsing ancient soap factory I located under my museum gave me the inspiration. And then he's linked it to Uri Geller Museum.
But his whole statement is kind of an oxymoron because he goes, I know where the Ark of the Covenant is and I will find it. It's like, well, if you know where it is, you don't got to find it. You're just going to go and get it. What he wants to say is he suspects he knows where it is, and he's going to go and find it.
I know where it is, allegedly.
That should be the name of his museum, the alleged museum of Uri Geller.
Years ago, I saw a documentary by him where he sat in, I think he was in Dubrovnik, and there was a bell that he said, this bell hasn't rung for something like, 200 years. And let's see if we can make it ring. And he holds his fingers to his temple and he's really concentrating. And then the bell just goes bong, huge. And he literally leaps out. And it turns out he was given wrong information. It bangs, it goes every hour. This massive bell. Literally, he's right next to this giant fucking bell, which just bong.
That could go to explain just about all of his PR headlines. He's like been given bad intel.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. Somebody's there just feeding him shit. He said, I tell you what, though, if I could invite him around for dinner and listen to some of these stories firsthand, I would do it in a heartbeat. What a fascinating guy.
Like, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I have a friend who told me that he thinks he's dangerous for the world. And I think that's interesting to explore as well. Just sort of saying, he's pushing a lot of stuff that he is quite dangerous if you fully believe in it. And I've never considered him in that way. And I'm going to go away and think about that.
Maybe because it falls into the line of misinformation, some of it, think his claims and his ideas are so ridiculous that to take them too seriously, they don't seem harmful to me. The one where he's warning that, aliens will come down and this could be the big end game. I mean, you kind of go, okay, well, if it is, it is. We're not even going to be able to really fight them.
When you said, though, Dan, he might be dangerous for the world, my brain instantly just went to all the spoons getting bent, like metal objects just bending out of nowhere. It's like he's going to turn into a super villain.
Especially if they bend while you're eating.
You're just about to have
your dinner. All of a sudden, he goes like this with his temples, club on either side, and all your spoons are going.
But you wouldn't serve soup, would you, if he came around for dinner? You'd be like, no, that'll be a disaster. It's slopping everywhere. Well, my story, it's from earlier this year, but it's still amazing. The headline, the full headline is actually Wild Video Shows Goldfish Driving a Water-Filled Car in Weird Experiment. And there is, I will show the video to you guys, although you may have already seen it. It's pretty hilarious, as you'd imagine, fish driving effectively a fish tank on wheels. And this article starts in a weird way as well. I'm not too sure whether I'm missing something, but the first line of this article from Live Science starts, fish may not need bicycles, but they seem to like cars. So I don't know if there's a thing about fish.
Well, there's a whole thing like a fish on a bicycle. That's like a saying, right?
Is it?
Yeah. He took to it like a fish on a bicycle.
right.
Meaning the guy had no idea what he was doing. It's impossible.
Right. That makes it a lot
more sense. I'm surprised you don't know that phrase. I use it about you behind your back all the time.
With regards to editing and producing shows. Well, people keep coming up to me saying, "Oh, mate, how's your bicycle riding skills, you big fish?" And I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I was just talking to Reese the other day.
Was it because of my big choo-choos?"
You're literally wearing a hat with a fish on it as well right now.
And I'm riding a bicycle. No, I'm not. So anyway, there's a supremely weird new video showing a goldfish driving a water-filled motorized car from one end of a room to another, bobbing and weaving to avoid obstacles along the way. Scientists performed the odd experiment to better understand how goldfish navigate terrestrial environments, which is kind of weird. Scientists must be getting so bored that they're like, hey, you know, fish out of water, I wonder how they'd navigate if they could. So they've gone about doing this. And so obviously in the wild, goldfish, and many other species, must navigate to find food or shelter for survival. But it's not always clear how they actually learn to navigate a space. And so that's why these scientists have set up this experiment, to find out exactly how fish go about learning how to do that. And also just to find the intelligence levels of what people have always deemed, you know, the most stupid of animals, you know, the memory of a goldfish and all that. They've had a bad rap, haven't they?
They have, because that's not true at all. Yeah. So that's, can we see the video? Because I can't quite picture how they're driving.
Yuri Geller's PR team need to get onto fish and give them a better rap, clean up some of this misconceptions. Let's watch the video now. It's from the University of Negev. In Israel. I don't know if that's I've said that right. Apologies if I haven't.
Israel. That's how you pronounce it. I'm still sharp.
You still got it. And just before it's I show the video,
but it's still there.
Just got it. It's coming back. It's coming back stronger. But anyway, they're calling this a reverse submarine, which makes sense, or a fish operated vehicle. Or an FOV is what they're calling it. They're giving it an acronym. Oh, it's like, God, probably going to be so the funny. Only fish-operated vehicle for many decades to come, but it still gets an acronym, an FOV, which is great. And it's a plastic aquarium mounted onto a small platform with wheels, which a single goldfish in this little aquarium can pilot by swimming around. Obviously, if it swims to the left, the car goes to the left. If it swims to the right, the car goes to the right. So I'll show you the little video now just to entertain you.
It's an hour and a half documentary. You got to fast forward to the small moment where they show it. There we go.
This is it driving in the street. So this is where they've got it. Actually, they took it outside and had the fish drive down the street, which is
what we're seeing is it's like a Perspex tank, a small goldfish tank, which is sitting on top of a platform with wheels driving around like a little, kind of like one of those hoovers that goes around your house cleaning, those robot hoovers.
That's exactly it.
But where does the fish want to go? Why is it, well, like most fish don't go places other than their tank, right? So
I think what they're actually proving here, or at least trying to prove, is that the fish can actually see objects and actually maneuver their way around it. So there's a top-down shot here, where you can see that the little goldfish bowl on the wheels drives up to an object, then drives to the left of it and literally drives around it. You see here. The question I've got is like a couple of shots of the thing look like there's two fish in there, obviously because the optical illusion that from this box, you know when you look into a goldfish bowl, you know, things look bigger or smaller depending on the refraction of the goldfish bowl. If you're the goldfish in there trying to drive, surely everything looks a bit weird and a bit bigger and a little bit stranger, you know.
Yeah.
Surely that would make driving harder. If you were driving your car down the road and it was filled with water and you're having to look through the optical illusion of looking through water and then through your windscreen, surely you're going to crash into stuff more.
I don't think, though, that anyone is suggesting this is the future of chauffeuring.
This is one of the most ridiculous experiments I've ever seen in my life. And I don't think in 10 years they're going to, in fish shops, go, okay, here's your fish. Now, do you want the fish vehicle as well?
Because, FOV.
Yeah, you want the FOV, mate? Because it's you can have your fish in your house just swimming around and then moving around with you. It's basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to make out like a fish, which is, you know, let's be honest, one of the most boring pets you could ever have, to make it more exciting so that, you know, when you go from the kitchen to the lounge, the fish can come with you if it so chooses. Which maybe, it wouldn't, because why would it?
Maybe Yuri Geller's PR people are working with fish and this is they're actually trying to repackage them as a better pet. This is
I'll tell you what, it's very possible, because do you know where Yuri Geller's museum is and where he is?
Oh, no.
Israel. He's in
Israel,
Tel Aviv.
Come on.
Yeah. I think is that how you pronounce it? Israel.
This is
yeah.
it. Israel.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. But you've got to admit, if you were to train these fish up and add a little vacuum cleaner machine to the bottom of the little car...
Yeah.
And train the goldfish to actually spot dirty spots on your carpet. It could actually be the future of intelligent robotic vacuum cleaners.
But you know how earlier when I was trying to describe to the listener what that looked like and I described the existing technology of a robot that cleans your house?
Yeah, but it just randomly drives around, doesn't it? It doesn't spot the dirt. This is a fish. This is like early AI for robotic vacuum cleaners.
You want
it's like
specific.
Fish AI.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The only way I can see this getting more exciting is if the fish is bigger. If you imagine it was actually a shark.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A great big shark, and it's in a special big long tank, just the right size for the shark, and it can be your pet shark, and you can go down to the shops with it. And it just comes along with you.
Yes.
Then you're going to start turning heads.
Like but your experience at the aquarium, it was a bit more like Dodgems, where you're sort of walking through and the shark's literally chasing you.
You'd have a guard shark.
Yeah. It would be like the ultimate laser tag obstacle, wouldn't it? You're running through playing laser tag. And then there's all of a sudden you've got to watch out for the shark in a car that drives past you that you've got to kind of get out of the way of, or so, you know, like that, maybe that's why they're developing that. Maybe the Laser Tag Association went to them and said, we need to make laser tag more thrilling. And look, this is what they came up with.
Before you derail this poor fish any more than she is by kicking her out of the bowl where she's, you know, lovingly heading into walls at the moment from that video, I do have a linking bit of information with goldfish if you want to. It seems to be my thing this episode. I've got another tidbit of fish information, and it's that they can talk. So this came out, and I was going to use this in my news as well, but I thought we might as well link it to it now. Yeah. So basically, they've discovered that, you know, fish can make noises. So they actually have a lot of things to say. They can croak and chirp, and you just can't hear them. You know, and I looked at this thing and I thought, oh, yeah, well, please just give us a recording because I want to hear what fish actually sound like.
Yeah,
I want to be blown away when I've got my pet fish in its little tank next to me as we're heading down to the shops together. And I've got a little speaker set up that goes from through the water, through the other side of the tank and amplifies out into the real world. And then this is what an actual fish, this is a real recording. What it sounds like. This is the long spine squirrel fish. Cute name for a fish. Here we go. Here it is. That's it.
That is so cool.
Awesome. I know that sound because that's the sound that I hear when I've left my friends inside the rave and I'm sitting outside reading a book and just hearing the bass come through the wall.
Where's Dan? Where's Dan? Do you guys remember that there's a toy from the 90s, that really weird toy, called Flat Eric?
Yes. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me check. It's basically the same sound as Flat Eric. Have a look here. Remember this? There was a song called Mr. Oizo, and it was, and they had this thing called Flat Eric, and it was used in a Levi's ad. And he talks like it's crazy how much it sounds exactly like it. Okay, here we go. It's the spine fish. Right?
Oh my god!
Isn't it?
What is this?
Have you not seen this?
Wait, that's Dan outside a club. Dan, when are you coming back inside? Dan.
Am I right? Isn't that the spine fish?
Yeah, yeah. It is,
isn't it? That's basically. Can you play your spine fish again quickly?
Yeah, sure. Let me have a look at mine.
Dan,
come on! Honestly, I've got the shots all lined up. They're flaming and everything. Quick, put the salt on your back of your wrist, Dan.
Well, no wonder you've gone outside. You've got buttons in there.
Doing I'm standing next to him. Look at shots with salt on the back of your hand. He's got it all wrong. I look forward to that night. That's an exciting night. And me going, it's Flat Eric, guys. No, it's not. It's the spine fish. Guys, this sounds exactly like the spine fish. Honestly, you should hear it. They can talk. Fish can talk, I tell you.
Who brought their fish into this nightclub? He keeps bumping into my legs.
Oh, go that way. Guys.
And the bartender's trying to mix our drinks with his spoon and he's bending in his hand. He's got Yuri's here, isn't he? Get that Yuri guy out of here. I can't mix any of the cocktails.
I found the ark. Guys, I found it.
Oh, my God.
It's my fish tank, you bastard.
It's a reverse arc, isn't it? It's got lots of water in it.
A reverse arc.
It's not keeping water out, it's keeping water in.
Okay, here we go. Britain's oldest pub closes after 1,229 years. And she's a beautiful, beautiful old pub. It's called Ye Olde Fighting Cox, and it's in St. Albans.
That's in St. Albans.
Yeah, St. Albans. Nice. And so apparently, yeah, been running for that long, and it announced it's closing down due to financial problems worsened, of course, by COVID-19. So, yeah, it's a little sad, but the pub's website states the business first started pouring drinks in the year 793.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that out of town?
That is actually insane.
Especially if you're not in that town. But, I mean... 793. Crazy, right? So they can't let that go. So I think what's going to happen here is someone's going to buy it and then just the doors will open again.
I actually remember I said I went to Ireland earlier in the show, but I didn't have anything interesting to say about it. I just remembered, so this will make up for it. I went to Ireland's oldest pub while I was there, and it's called the Brazen Head. It's in Dublin. And it was established in the year 198. So this is an even older pub. Yeah.
Wow. And it's closing down too.
It closed that night. Yeah.
All right.
So 11 p.m.
You were stuck outside with your goldfish.
Yeah.
Not having that guy in here with his weird remote control fish.
That's a shame to be open for that long. And the saddest thing is for them not to actually, I'm sure they had really big things for their 1,230th birthday, which would have been next year. What a shame.
Yeah.
Big plans.
I wonder how many, like, you know, things like in the toilets where the graffiti where it was like, you know, call ye mum on, you know.
You know what? Yeah, yeah.
It'd be so nice to know what survived all those years.
For a good time, meet me by the tree next to the river. out with the old and in with the new. The other piece of news I have is, of course, this amazing subterranean world in a cave beneath Antarctica.
Oh yeah. This is a little bit more positive.
Yeah, so the 24th Ukrainian expedition members to Antarctica have managed to trace down a cave that had long been lost. The subterranean formation is 3 times larger than previously thought and features several lakes and a river, as reported on September 10th by the press service of the Ministry of Education and Science of Ukraine. The subterranean world is found inside the cave of a remote place, the island of Galandez. The cave was actually found long ago when the first Antarctic expeditions took place. Through time, experts lost track of the cave. And was, you know, Antarctica everywhere looks the same, isn't it? Well, it's white. there's a sort of an area which it's mainly just white. Yeah, it's a cold section. There's a hole, and then you I can't see it. Anyway, they've got lost. The Ukrainian expedition has revealed that the Antarctic cave was actually 3 times larger than previously thought.
Wow.
So the entrance at the time was on the opposite side of the island and under the top of a glacier near the Vernadsky research base. However, the glacier collapsed, and so the entrance was sealed. So this is what happened, and now they've found another entrance. And so they've gone in and worked out it's even bigger than they ever thought.
Wow.
So it's really sort of like cool news, literally.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to see a photo of it. Is there any in the article?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that looks like so Antarctica. I mean, I've never been there, yeah. But honestly.
So as you can see from the photo, it's white and there's some cavey bits.
And it's cold, and definitely yeah. Cold.
Here's another photo here showing you, you know, stalactites and things like that. If any of you watch like Star Wars or The Mandalorian, you know, when they land on that Hoth planet. Did you ever see The Mandalorian?
No.
Some of the listeners will be knowing what I'm talking about. I've actually got a model of the ship here, so I'll just get it so I can act it out. Hang on, I've just got to plug my headphones back in because I can't. Oh, we've crashed into this ice chamber. Actual lines from the show. And then the roof comes off. Oh, we've got to get out. And there's the Mandalorian there. See, that's that little guy.
Hang on. Why is Donatello driving the Mandalorian? You got Donatello puppets there.
These are the correct characters. And then these, anyway, in the show, these X-Wing fighters came in and they crash landed in there as well. And they had to get out. It's a great episode.
Do you know the funny thing is with this? If people are watching this or listening to this, wondering whether or not Rhys Darby is actually a geek, this is confirmation beyond confirmation. Okay. He's literally flying a Lego Mandalorian ship around in his room that he built himself, that he's, you know, got literally within arm's reach of his office desk for pride of place. I think we can, if anybody was like, yeah, that restart, I don't think he's a real geek. I think he actually is putting it all on. He's actually a real cool dude. And he's probably out at nightclubs and stuff like that doing shots of flaming
sandwiches
with his mate. But no, he's actually really is a real geek.
Got very sidetracked there too. Sorry about that, guys.
Don't be sorry.
It just really reminded me. Here's another photo here.
Wow. Is it more Lego you made? This is my Lego collection.
You need the Lego Antarctic subterranean base.
Yeah, I just love subterranean worlds. I really do. And I think, so here we go, a little bit more here. The unexpected find. Oh, yes. In addition to the cave and everything, researchers claim to have discovered the plume of a bird that they say is definitely not that of a penguin.
Ooh.
So this unexpected find was recovered and sent to Ukraine for further testing. And as well as they've taken samples of the frozen river for hydrochemical analysis, yada, yada, yada.
Bacteria. With everything that's going on in the Ukraine at the moment, I don't know that sending a very rare and strange specimen from Antarctica and sending it to Ukraine where there is almost all-out war bordering on falling out. that needs
analysis.
What do
analysis. You do when you find something rare that you want to analyze? The best thing to do is keep it on ice, right?
I
should just leave it there.
You should leave it there.
Honestly, don't take it. We don't want it back here. There's going to be a war happening here. Please, just leave it in the fridge.
What's it? In the big ice fridge. Have you got any fridges there? Yeah. Can you put it in the fridge there, please?
I love, though, that if you were the first person that came across that subterranean base, that subterranean underground, I mean, you would, because that's where everyone was looking for the hollow earth, right? They were looking
exactly.
at the poles. You would for a second go, oh, fuck, it's hollow, isn't it? Shit.
But you can have... We don't know that that's not the entranceway to the actual hollowness of the earth. So further down, like they already said, it was three times bigger than they thought it was. You know, this is only, dare I say it, the tip of the iceberg. And I think the reverse version of that. So if they keep like exploring down there and find more caverns, who knows where these could lead? And if anyone's seen Alien versus Predator, I think you'll, you know, agree with me that there's definitely an alien base down there.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that one either. Have you got any Lego demonstration of?
I'd like to just, don't tempt anymore.
Oh, actually, you know what? I do have another one here. Hang on a second. I'll be back in a second.
Oh my god! Thanks, Dan. Thanks for asking about his Lego collection again. God, we'll be here all day.
I just wanted to test the nerdity. I just wanted to see. Yeah, that could have been a fluke. That could have been.
Take it off the Richter scale. He's literally going to bring out now Alien versus Predator, but Playmobil.
Here we go. So here it is. So you're going to enjoy this.
Oh, cool.
Hello.
Oh, wait, what's happening?
Wow. So just to give you some context, Reese has a UFO that literally just started abducting a cow.
A cow. It's live, got a patch of grass. And what's the cord? Is it one of those new hybrid cars that need charging?
Hybrid UFO!
It's a lamp, yeah. So at the end of the day.
Just again, to confirm your nerdity, your bedside lamp is a UFO abducting a cow.
Yeah.
Oh,
I bought it
God.
On Etsy.
Wow. That's awesome. Is amazing. Yep, you're a geek.
And that's how I spend my evenings.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Wow, did we cover all of the news articles? There were so many, I can't even remember. Yeah, yeah. You've done Uri Geller. I mean, I did have the one that, you know, spiders are scared, can be scared of spiders, but I think that sort of makes sense. Some scientists found out that spiders can be scared of spiders.
It's like saying humans are scared of humans.
Exactly.
Any animals are scared of any other animal.
Exactly. It makes total sense. But they've just proven it. So somebody can use that when they're out drinking and they run short of conversation. Apparently, spiders have arachnophobia.
Cool, man. I might just grab an Uber.
Is that the time? Yeah. Okay, well, then shall we move on?
Yeah, let's look at the cryptozoological animal world and see if anything jumps out at us.
Literally.
Yeah, that's a cool sentence, right?
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Help me!
Okay, so do we have any news to speak of?
So I've got this kayaker that claims to have seen the dog man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so unfortunately, this is from the Lad Bible. Remember, I had issues with that last month. I put out a Lad Bible. Well, I like to call them the Lad Bible letdowns. So here it is. The man had been out fishing in Australia when he captured this image, which I'll show you in a minute. Is there a dog-like hominid stalking the wilds of the Australian outback? One man who has been identified only as John certainly seems to think so. The story goes that John had been out fishing in his kayak on Boxing Day, and then he had an encounter that he has since likened to reports of a half-dog, half-man creature. That's been cited, of course, in the U.S. state of Michigan. That's where the dog man's famous for. As far back as the 1800s, the dog man. It's one of those famous cryptids that we don't speak of that much, but it's definitely a known cryptid. So he goes on, John, if that's even his name, and he says, I noticed that every time I took a stroke with the paddle on my kayak, whatever this thing was, it was taking a stride to each paddle I was taking. So I'm thinking, well, stop paddling, mate. But he kept paddling, stride for stride, stroke for stroke. He's spoken on this podcast, not ours, but one called Believe, Paranormal and UFO Podcast.
Apparently it's no good and you shouldn't listen to it. That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, they talk to the actual sources. They don't just get articles from like Lad Bible and stuff.
Boring, so. You're boring me.
Get your team in, quick. I'm kayaking. He was kayaking. Yeah, and every stroke I made, every stroke he made, the dog man took a stride. Yep, can I just grab that Uber? So the creature... I actually got it on film, on the photo, he says. He was confused whether it was a photo or film. I've spoken to a few people, and I reckon it's Dog Man. This is what he says. So what do you think? Well, he goes on, after that, I couldn't go back to the area to check it out myself. I was petrified for probably a month, and I was waking up in the middle of the night and seeing this creature in my dreams. So this guy's like, you know, legit believes he's seen something terrifying, which you've got to give him credit for. And, you know, I've kind of done that once or twice in my life, and you do keep thinking about that thing. And so that's got to mean something. Now, unfortunately, the photo is a bit of a letdown, but I'll share it with you. Okay, so let me just go to, there's the photo. So it really is just trees.
It's, yeah.
I mean, like what is he taking a photo of there? So I guess it's the dark mass in the middle of the trees, but that could just be a gap in the trees.
That's just a gap in the trees. But it kind of looks like it could be a monkey swinging.
I can see that, yeah.
But also he was saying that it was, you know, as he was kayaking along, it was like taking strides, like it was running along the side of the bank rather than in trees. If it was in trees,
swinging branch to branch,
you're looking at a monkey. Where does the dog come into it? But also it's Australia, so there's not going to be monkeys in the trees there, you know. But anyway, here's the other good side about taking a photograph that reveals nothing. It means that it could be the photograph he took and that's what he actually saw, and it was just a bad photo. So if there was something that was clearly a hoax, then you might see something that's a little bit more like it could be someone in a costume or something. But this photo reveals diddly squat. So I think it's probably more legit than fake in that regard. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes total sense.
Because it doesn't reveal anything. It's like, but also the article doesn't like do a zoom in. You know how some articles would then go, okay, let's have
another question. Yeah, exactly.
Nut offers just that. That's all. Come on, Lad Bible.
All the Lad Bible articles need the word inserted allegedly.
Oh, yes.
That's the classic allegedly site. <It's>
like, somebody allegedly.
Somebody needs to hack their site and just automatically insert the word allegedly.
If it's a gap in the trees, as it says, it could be a gap in the trees. It is quite dark to be a gap in the trees. It's you think that's sort of a, you know, dark color. It's a color. It looks like a physical something rather than just a space. You know what I mean? There's a branch there on the left, and you can tell what that looks like. And then over here, you know,
it's
pretty dark over there on the left.
Yeah, but also much like the amazing time traveler news from the future that we did last week, last episode.
The news that was so bad it broke down the podcast for a month and a half.
It did, and there was that whole thing of that woman who came back from visiting Mars in the year 2500. And she came back with this one amazing image of humans living on Mars. And somebody nailed the comment, which is so relevant to this. You've got a camera. Something amazing is happening. Why are you taking one photo?
Yes.
Take a whole series of photos. Show us. Yeah. Take a video. It's like there's no excuse to just, you know, like you're capturing dog, man. Like, don't take just one little photo and go, yeah, I think I got it. Keep going.
But this is what I say.
Tie it closer.
It adds to the legitimacy because he was literally terrified. And so he only took that one. He was like, oh, my God, I got to get out of here. I'm on a kayak. That guy's way up in the trees. He's going to get me. I don't know. You can't think what people are going through in their head.
Yeah, you would be. I mean, I would be scared, I think, if I saw a dog man in the trees. I wouldn't be like, oh, let me go in and do a photo shoot with the beast that might rip my head off. Who knows what dog man's motivations are? Can I quickly just say that I can see on the right-hand side of this, this is taking us away from strict crypto here, although it's to do with aliens, is your buddy, Reese, Giorgio. Yeah.
Giorgio Lucas.
People listening will know him as the guy who is the meme that says aliens from Ancient Aliens, the History Channel show. But the headline here is the aliens guy has a surprising connection to Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I've just been thinking, what can that be the entire time? So could you possibly click on it? Because if he's a first cousin or something, that's an amazing story.
That would be amazing.
So, yeah, so Giorgio was a bodybuilding promoter. That's how he met Arnold back in the day. Yeah, right. That was a long time ago before he got into Legendary Times magazine and then became an Ancient Aliens explorer traveling all over the world. There's a quote here from History Channel, just to give more cred to Giorgio. Giorgio's research expeditions have taken him around the world, and he is one of only a few people to have visited and explored nearly every mysterious ancient site on planet Earth. So you've got to give him kudos for that.
Yeah, totally. The just back to Dog Man, though, where people kind of going, oh, God, people are
speaking
making
of kudos.
Kudos, giving kudos back to the dog man.
Hey, kudos, come on.
Kudos.
Get off the trees.
What a great name for a dog.
Get off the trees, kudos. Kudos.
Like somebody needs to call their dog Kudos. If somebody's got a puppy out there at the moment and calls their puppy Kudos, then I will send out a free t-shirt because that needs to be a dog's name, right? That's genius,
Reese. Yeah.
You should start a company giving puppies names.
Yeah. What does he do now? He just names dogs. Does he? Yeah. He did really well one time. He said the word kudos, and then his mate said that would be a great name for a dog, and now instantly he set up his own company naming dogs.
He shut down the Lego trading company. That was, you know, he just ended up keeping all the Lego. He didn't even sell any. That was a flop. And now he's just naming dogs. Yeah.
They're all called Kudos.
Anyway,
please, when you go on this promotional tour for Our Flag Means Death, when they say, so what are you up to next? What's the next project?
I name dogs. Yeah. You got to give me kudos for that, surely. All right, that's all we've got time for. Thank you.
Well, I just need to give some kudos to the dog man. And the fact that we're sort of glossing over the fact that, you know, people who may not have heard of the dog man, the original sighting of the very first reported dog man encounter was 130 years ago in Michigan, when a couple of lumberjacks saw the creature they described as having a man's body and a dog's head. And then lots of other people saw it after that. Most of the original reports came from logging camps. In the 1970s, Michigan was sort of like started getting inundated with dog man. There was a report that a dog man ran out in front of a car, causing it to flip over. There's been like 1970s. There was a video captured of what was dog man. There's like dog man's been about and around. There's a movie called Dog Man. So this guy's report, I mean, you know, we don't want to poo-poo it too much because there are legitimate sightings out there that people have had of dog man.
Yeah, yeah. Except he's in another country. I mean, he's in Australia.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
but, you know, there's hairy hominids in all these different continents. So who knows where these things come from? It could be from another dimension and therefore could land anywhere.
Anywhere. And the only other piece of crypto news that I had found was that somebody has taken a photo of a lake monster in Wimbledon. And the only reason I bring it up, Time Out has reported on it. And, of course, they've done the really frustrating thing of saying, stop the presses. The Loch Ness Monster has been spotted in Wimbledon. It's like, stop calling it the Loch Ness Monster. It's a lake creature of its own right. You don't need to call every lake monster that it's Loch Ness and that it's somehow found a cave system from Loch Ness down to Wimbledon. Give it its own name.
It's lazy, and it's because it's the most famous one. And say, oh, and he's moved. He's on holiday. You know, he's gone down there now.
That's so ridiculous. The only one thing with this is the photo is actually ridiculous, and I doubt very much that it is actually
legit.
You're legit. But it was captured by a construction site manager, Eric Chitros, in his morning stroll through Wimbledon Park. He saw a mysterious shape in the water. And he said, as soon as I spotted it, I thought of Nessie, and hence I snapped a picture. And he said, if a real Nessie exists, it's got to be some dinosaur that refused to go extinct. And I think it does exist. So he's certainly not sort of, sounds like he's not having a prank, but certainly the photo doesn't look legit.
I've been reading up on Nessie for a thing that I'm writing at the moment, and I found out that there was a guy called Ted Holliday who lived by the lock, and he was convinced that Nessie was telepathic to an extent, because the idea that Nessie kept being seen by people who didn't have a camera on them and who weren't quite ready for it to gather the evidence. So Nessie could sort of sense that there was either technology ready for the capturing and could avoid it. So what Ted Holliday used to do is he used to face the other way to the lock and jump around suddenly.
Wow. Oh my God.
To catch Nessie.
So funny.
And then the other thing he would do is he would say out loud that he was going one way when in fact he was going the other, just to confuse. So I'm just going to go to the car now and just, you know, and then have his camera ready, sort of turning the other way.
The idea of someone trying to outwit someone's telekinesis is ridiculous. It's like, I know that you can tell what I'm thinking, but I'm not thinking that, am I? I'm not actually going to do that. So I'm facing the other way. And then the Nessie's thinking, I know what you're thinking because you're thinking it. No, I'm not thinking that. You might be a good actor in your head, mate, but I know exactly every thought that's going through it. No. And by the way, stop talking to me.
I'm very busy swimming.
I'm very busy doing anything but looking for you. So just know that.
Well, the other thing, the final part of Loch Ness news, is that a property has come on the market with epic views of Loch Ness, ideal for Nessie hunting. And back to that brilliant business idea that we had of having properties around the world that are in iconic
cryptid hotspots.
Yeah,
the cryptid hotels. FBs.
Yes. We got it. And it's on the market for only £385,000. And there's beautiful old stone cottages and lots of land, and it's right, like the views are like straight at an area where lots of sightings of Nessie have been. So if you guys want to go and talk to your mortgage brokers and your bankers and stuff and just see what money you can scrape together, and we'll see what we can do.
I love that. And because that would be another property. We've got that one. We've got the one out at Area 51 that was for sale.
Yeah, Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah,
there was the you found that ghost one, Buttons, the haunted church.
The one, the church that the Dracula was first.
Yeah,
that one there. Like, God, that's a why aren't people investing in these ideas of ours, guys?
I know.
It's so
you could
weird.
Stay in each one. You get a stamp.
Stamp your little book. Stamp your cryptid book.
The cryptid
passport
would be
amazing. I've stayed in five of the seven ones. I've got the little special cryptid passport. Once you've got all six stamps from the places, then you get your gift, which, of course, is a goldfish and a bowl that moves down the street.
That vacuums your lounge.
Yeah.
And goes straight for the dirty spots. Doesn't just drive everywhere. Fish intelligence. Genius.
Hey, just very quickly, Buttons, you just mentioned Mothman. There's been a newly discovered insect that resembles Mothman.
Wow. And, I love this.
It's the size of a human.
Phlogist. No. Well, this is the issue. This is where you think, did this inspire? Maybe it was like a particularly big insect that made people think, oh, is that, you know that thing where things are bigger if you're scared of them? They seem much more. Unfortunately, this creature, this insect, is 6.5 millimeters in length. So
you got a picture there?
Be very scared. Well, actually, remember Mothman, the very first sighting of Mothman was around an army base, like where they think that they were doing some weird research and what have you. There was an ammunition base
Hey, wasn't there a massive magnifying glass there as well? Like world's biggest magnifying glass, and people were getting confused. Have I got that story right?
No, yeah, I think you're right. Right on top of the bridge that was built poorly. Yeah, that could answer a lot, actually.
This is it here.
Oh,
I see Mothman because it's got red eyes.
It's got the red eye.
Oh, it does.
Silver back. It does actually look terrifying. If that landed on you, you'd freak out.
If that was
giant. You
probably
wouldn't see it. So tiny, right?
Now, does that come with the giant magnifying glass? Because that's truly terrifying then.
That is.
Okay, that's amazing. I think the only thing that could possibly top that would be this. All right, that's all we've got time for this week.
Oh, Dad, come back into the club. Dad, come back in. I've got a Guinness. I've got a bunch of Guinnesses.
Who's is this stupid fish? Hey, it's at the Ark. What's the Ark of the Covenant? It's not the bloody Ark. Get out of here. Stop bending our spoons, you You want your Lego back, mate?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.